Hello to all you people on the go and multitaskers everywhere. This is Homeschool Mom Movie Maven, and this review is on Instant Family. The short take, or what my parents would have called the Reader's Digest version, the synopsis is, Instant Family is the charming, inspirational, and humorous story of a dink, meaning double income, no kids, couple who decide to foster three children. The film manages to be smart, brutally honest, funny, and even whimsical at the same time. Who should go? Well, this is a must-see. It's a movie, but only for the older teens and up because of language and story content. Long take and warnings, there are spoilers. Instant Family could have been called Foster Parenting for Dummies. This is no one's idealized version of a blended family. This is not the Brady Bunch, Three Men and a Baby, Despicable Me, or even The Blind Side, and you'll see why that reference is amusing when you watch the movie. But Instant Family is honest and full of joy, miraculously achieving that delicate balance between comedy and drama, which many movies attempt but at which few succeed. The innate parity between laughter and tears, which exists in the human condition but is rarely found in movie scripts, comes naturally to this script, at least in part because the story was inspired by writer-director Sean Anders and his wife's real-life experiences of adopting. All of the characters, from the kids to the support group members to the social workers, are based on the real people the Anders met through the process, normally flawed humans with the usual awkward family dynamics trying to do their best under difficult circumstances. Instant Family soft-pedals nothing as the prospective parents go through all kinds of hurdles to attempt their goal. The leads are Pete, played by Marky Mark Wahlberg from Mile 22, Deepwater Horizon, and Lone Survivor, and Ellie, played by Rose Byrne, who was most recently seen as Moira from the X-Men reboot and Bee from Peter Rabbit, and, by the way, who, though from Australia, does a spotless American accent. We follow Pete and Ellie from their naive, romantic visions of fostering a child through the often hilarious mandatory support group meetings, the spotty support of their doubtful relatives, through the decision-making, and then to the realities of trying to support, protect, guide, and raise three at-risk and traumatized children of different ages. This sounds like heavy stuff, and it is, but it is also laugh-out-loud funny. The movie occasionally wanders gently into slapstick and slight caricature, but only in a way one might, with the humor and affection gleaned from the wisdom of retrospection, remember an experience that did not seem funny at the time, but ends up being one of your favorite memories. Instant Family reminds me a lot of last year's equally brilliant Wonder, about a family coping with a severely handicapped child. The review for Wonder is also on my blog. In Wonder, there are no bad guys, only the challenge tackled by adults and children alike, to interact with the people you love as best you can, and who love you. Instant Family is similar. And if you ever wondered, as the PSA queries, that you had to be perfect to foster a child, the characters in Instant Family will quickly disabuse you of that notion. The support group scenes were some of the best moments, populated as they are by every possible combination of would-be foster parents, from single, wannabe supermom, idealistic fundamentalist Christians, an infertile interracial couple, a gay couple, and our protagonists, an upwardly mobile, self-employed pair who initially think of these children the way they do the houses they renovate for a living. All the prospective parents come with a unique set of priorities and preconceived, often conflicting, sometimes counterintuitive notions. Some are even portrayed as ridiculous or annoying. But fundamentally, all of them have one thing in common: a core desire to provide a loving, stable home for children who have none and who are often at risk of abuse, addiction, and even death at the hands of their biological parents and the environment to which they are subjected. These foster parents, for all their differences, flaws, quirks, and even errors in judgment, are the living life rafts on the treacherous and stormy seas of our broken culture, desperately trying to rescue survivors who sometimes don't even want to be saved. Look, I am one of the biggest fans of movies about the Avengers, Thor, Hulk, Spider-Man, Iron Man, Superman, Wonder Woman, Ant-Man, Batman, Justice League, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But these disparate, sometimes awkward, occasionally clueless foster parents are the true superheroes. The acting is terrific, never succumbing to the easy temptation to sink into saccharine or false empathy, but neither does it avoid showing the warts of the tortuous foster process. Wahlberg and Byrne are excellent and never shy away from any of the very strong emotions of the moment, but don't dwell on them either. There is a constant balance of the solemn with the naturally evolving moments of humor that always arise from even the grimmest of circumstances. For example, the social workers, Sharon and Karen, played by Tig Notaro and Olivia Spencer, the latter from Hidden Figures and Zootopia, are very funny as the odd couple co-workers. Notaro is the prim, proper, white, reserved, rule follower, while Spencer is her outspoken, blunt, pragmatic black counterpart. But they both have a realistic view of their jobs. When Pete asks Sharon and Karen about the foster children's father, the only answer he gets is uncontrollable laughter. This humorously speaks serious volumes without belaboring the tragic point. In another scene, after learning of a significant hitch in their plans, Pete and Ellie come home to discover Ellie's mom, Jan, being decorated with permanent ink Sharpies. There was no malice involved. Children and Jan alike had mistaken them for washable crayons. Jan, performed by Julie Haggerty, whose unforgettable stint in Airplane made her synonymous with ditzy characters, solemnly offers good and sage advice to the despairing couple, but of necessity, while indelibly and distractingly face-painted. The music is a cheerful and delightful sprinkling of songs like Wings' Let 'Em In, George Harrison's What Is Life, and Jefferson Starship's Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now. The perky upbeats also help soften the more somber moments, and you can get the individual songs streaming on Amazon. The children are very natural. Isabel Moner, singer and actress, is Lizzie, the teenager who is simultaneously grateful for the safe haven Pete and Ellie provide for herself and her younger siblings, and understandably resentful of these same people as interlopers to her quote-unquote real but incarcerated and drug-addicted mother. Moner is a truly beautiful voice and sings the credit song I'll Stay at the end of the movie. Gustavo Quiroz is adorable as Lizzie's klutzy, well-meaning, and inept younger brother Juan, and Juliana Gamiz is the youngest and precocious sister Lita. The two younger kids act with a normal and very believable open ingenuousness, quick impulsive affection, manipulative behavior, and selfish tantrums demands of normal kids. But the writing skillfully runs a thread of abnormality underneath these kids' otherwise normal veneer. For example, Lita happily plays with Ellie when they first meet until Lita begins play-acting with her doll, calling her doll racial epithets and interacting with the doll in ways she is obviously imitating from her previous foster parents. It's nothing sinister, but it is casually cruel. And it gives the audience a taste of what every precarious day can be like for these kids whose parents have abysmally let them down, and are in a system which can sometimes fail them. But again, the serious tone is undercut by the humorous way the failed foster couple insist that the little girl must have heard it on TV. A lovely cameo is of Joan Cusack as an elderly, awkward, but concerned neighbor who helps to deflate another scene, which could have easily degenerated into mawkishness, but for her delightfully eccentric presence. The filming style itself is very straightforward, almost like professionally made home movies, as we see quite intimate moments of Ellie and Pete with each other, with their families, and with the foster kids and the support group sessions. While there is no sexuality shown on the screen, there are sexual topics which come up necessarily and inevitably with the raising of a 15-year-old girl from a bleakly broken background who has severe daddy issues. In addition, under stress, there is some humorously interjected but understandable profanity that crops up sprinkled throughout the movie. This, with the serious topic of abandoned and at-risk children, make this movie suitable only for older teens and up. However, for that demographic, for which it is appropriate, Instant Family is a must-see movie. And remember, if you're listening in your car or on an iPhone, you can get the full original review, including pictures and links, at www.homeschoolmommoviemaven.com. The Maven part spelled MAVIN.com. And take it from a homeschool mom. Education doesn't always have to come from a book. Sometimes it can come from a really good movie.